Let's turn to God's Word, and we want to read this morning from Paul's letter to the Romans and chapter 8, a very well-known portion of Scripture, very familiar portion of Scripture, and yet a tremendous passage. Romans chapter 8, and we want to commence our reading at verse 28. Paul says that we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And we pray that God will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. The banking system in chaos. Businesses folding at an alarming rate. World markets in turmoil. High street icons disappearing by the day. Unemployment rising rapidly. People in fear of losing their homes, losing their jobs, losing everything that they've worked so long and so hard for. Once booming economies, now in recession, and seemingly no one with any idea as to how to turn it around. All graphic reminders of the instability and the untrustworthiness of everything around us. Vivid reminders that we live in a rapidly changing world where nothing stays the same. Everything constantly changing. And where the frightening lack of stability brings great anxiety. How reassuring to be reminded that in this fast-changing world, there is something that remains constant. How comforting to discover how different our relationship with God is to everything else that surrounds us. To discover that God's love for us is constant, that it is an unchanging love. It doesn't change, it cannot be destroyed. It remains unaltered by conditions, unaltered by time or by space, by outside influences or internal influences. With all the pressures
the changes we face bring. We need that reassuring from time to time. And this morning we want to do that. We want to remind ourselves to be reassured of just how wonderful God's love for us is. And Paul tells us in those closing two verses of Romans 8. And one of the first things that he tells us is that this amazing love is unaffected by conditions. It is unaffected by conditions. He says, for I am convinced or I am persuaded that neither death nor life. In describing the nature of God's love for us, Paul begins with the most feared enemy of every human being, death. Here is the greatest cause of change that we face. Death, one writer says, unclasps our hands from the closest and dearest of grasps. Death destroys the deepest of bonds. It separates body and soul. It parts us from our homes, from our occupations, from our friendships, from those nearest and dearest to us. Every bond known to society is broken by death. It is the most feared and the greatest changer of all. And yet there is one bond that even death can never break. In fact, when you think about it, in trying to break that bond and trying to achieve its end, death defeats its own purpose. Because it tears us away from this world with all of its limitations, and it ushers us into the next world with its limitless blessings. Death, with all its power, can't separate us from God's love. But then Paul turns to life. Maybe what death can't do, maybe life can. Maybe if we live long enough, with all the hazards, all the pitfalls, all the problems, maybe if we live long enough, these will gradually erode the cords of God's love. And eventually those cords will break and that love will be lost. But no, says the apostle. Such is the nature of God's love that neither death nor life can ever separate us from it. Now these two conditions, death and life, they represent the extremes that can happen to us. They're at either end of the chain, if you like. And the point here is that the two extremes can't separate us from God's love. Then nothing in between can either. If the most violent change possible can't loosen the grip that God's love has on us, then we need have no worries about any less violent change. What a tremendously comforting and reassuring truth this is. God's love is unaffected by conditions, whether it's life or death or anything in between. But not only is it unaffected by conditions, he says it's undiverted by beings. He says neither angels nor principalities nor powers. If nothing in our condition can affect God's love for us, is it just possible that there's something out there, something outside of the natural realm that could possibly cause God's love for us to fail? But Paul says here, there's no need for us to worry on that count either. He tells us categorically that angels, whether they're good or bad, can't harm or destroy or separate God's love from us. Unseen authorities, good or evil, cannot break the bond of love that binds us to our Savior. Principalities and powers, all the evil workings and working of Satan, cannot separate God's love from us. even though they try very hard to convince us that they can. We're well warned to have nothing to do with these things. The use of magic and superstition and so on is dishonoring to the Lord, and dabbling in them can be very damaging. But try as they do, Satan and his hordes and his devices can never separate us from God's love. Because here we see the very personal nature of the relationship that we have with God. It's between God and us. No other being, human or spiritual, is involved or has any power in the matter outside of the divine trinity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. No other had part in forging that relationship, and so none can destroy it. Again, one writer says, angels, principalities, powers may stand beholding with sympathetic joy. They may minister blessings and guardianship, but the decisive act of union between God and the soul, they can never effect nor prevent. God assures us through his word that just as nothing in the natural realm, death or life, so nothing in the spiritual realm, angels or principalities or powers, nothing can separate us from his love. It is totally unaffected and undiverted by beings. It's unaffected by conditions. It's undiverted by beings. It's unimpaired by time. Look what he says, nor things present, nor things to come. He turns his attention to the power of time. My, how time changes things. You only have to look in the mirror each morning and you see how time changes things. Time brings great changes, and eventually it brings separation. Isaac Watts summed it up in that line in his great hymn, time like an ever-flowing stream bears all her sons away. Time has brought the destruction of many great loves. So how does time present, time to come, how does it affect God's love for us? Paul says it doesn't. It doesn't. In his great revelation of himself to Israel, in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14, God reveals himself as I am that I am. The eternal God. The burning bush symbolized that. It was, if you like, the forever now fire. It wasn't the bush that had burned. It was the bush that was burning. Always burning, never consumed. The always now fire. God is eternal, he is unchanging, and he is love. So his love is eternal. Things present won't destroy it. And we can be assured that whatever happens in the future, be it medium term or long term, won't separate us from God's love either. God reminds us in Jeremiah 31 and verse 3, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Comfort. What strength and assurance when we feel, as we do, when we fall, when we're overwhelmed by the pressures of life. Think of Job. In Job's case, Satan dealt in things present. And those things were about as bad as it gets. And yet they didn't separate Job from God's love. If you go to the end of the book in chapter 42 and verse 12, we read, the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than the beginning. With David and Elijah, Satan dealt in things to come. David said, I shall perish at the hand of Saul. But a short time later, David seated on the throne of Israel. Jezebel said to Elijah, I will make your life as one of these by this time tomorrow. Elijah arose and went for his life. But in fact, he never died. God took him in the chariot of fire. As we are constantly confronted by the frightening flow of change and decay in the world around us and within us, with the cooling of earthly affections as time sweeps by, Satan would like nothing better than to persuade us that that's what God's love is like. But that's so far from the truth. God's love for us knows no end, experiences no decline in its intensity or in its quality. It is totally unaffected by time past, present, or to come. God's love for us is as great now as it was in eternity past when he first set his love upon us. His love for us this morning is as great as it was some 2,000 years ago when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. His love for us today is as great as it will be on that day when Christ presents us spotless before the Father in eternity yet to come. We need have no fear of any lessening of his love, because that can never happen. His love is from everlasting to everlasting. It's unimpaired by time. It's undiverted by beings. It's unaffected by conditions, and it's unhindered by space. He says, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. That which has brought the end of many great loves. Very difficult to have a long-distance relationship. Space has destroyed, distance has destroyed many great loves, but it's no match for God's love. Just as time is parlous, so too is space, distance, height, nor depth. It's interesting, you know, that wonderful truth that is a fearful thing for those without Christ. You, God, see me. If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in the grave, you are there. Where shall I flee from your presence? Psalm 139. The answer is nowhere. No matter where we go, he's there. That's frightening if you're without Christ. You can't hide from him. How reassuring when we belong to him. No matter where we go, he's there before us. There's nothing in highest heaven or in deepest hell that can ever separate us from the wonderful love that God has for us. And then as you read this passage, you get the impression that Paul's starting to get impatient, listing all of these things that are part of us to separate us from God's love. And with one final burst, he throws everything else in. The whole of space and the whole of created matter, nor any other creature. See, the ability of human nature to conjure up possible trouble and disaster for itself is limitless. You know what it's like. You say to someone, well, God can help you in that situation. Ah, but what about this one here? Yes. But I don't know, but what about this one here? And what about this one? And what about this one? And we can conjure up all these ideas. But in these words, Paul lays it all to rest. He says, in effect, there is no created thing that can separate us from God's love. And that means that absolutely nothing can. Because the only thing in existence that isn't created, or the only person, to be more accurate, is God himself. The same Paul could say, in him we live and move and have our being. And even though God knows us intimately, even better than we know ourselves, yet he loves us with an everlasting love. Not because of who or what we are. Indeed, in spite of who and what we are. How tremendous to know that he knows us so well, and yet he loves us so much. Isn't it wonderful to know that there's never going to be a day when something's going to fall out of the cupboard and God's going to say, whoa, I didn't know that. If I'd known that, I wouldn't have loved this person the way I do. That's never going to happen. There are no skeletons in the cupboard as far as he's concerned. No surprises. And yet he loves us. Isn't that amazing? But you know, these are not just theological truths. They are that, and they're wonderful. But more than that, there's more to it than that. Because recognizing the triumph of God's amazing love for us over all of these things, real and supposed enemies, in effect gives us victory over them as well. They become our servants. We're set free from the dread of death because we know it can't separate us from God's love. We're set free from the despair of things because we know they can't separate us from God's love. We're delivered from the superstitious dread of the unseen and the fear of men because they can't separate us from God's love. We're lifted above being bogged down in the present and paralyzed by anxiety about the future because we know that they can't separate us from God's love. What a glorious truth that we, as the children of God, cannot be separated from God's love by anything natural, spiritual, temporal, or spatial. The love of God in Christ is forever ours. To lose the love of God, God would have to cease to exist, and that can never happen. In the midst of the stormy seas of change and decay, what a tremendous rock. What a thrill to the soul. Does it thrill your soul this morning? Does it fill your life with the warmth of God's great love, the comfort of God's eternal presence, His strength, His assurance, His hope? Shouldn't that encourage us to a deeper love for our God and to rejoice in the certain knowledge that the love that took the initiative in lifting us from the miry clay will one day set us in the halls of glory? For I am persuaded, I am totally convinced, he says. Pastor was retiring from a church that he preached in for a very long time and preached his last sermon from the pulpit and he made his way to the door. On the way out, one of the faithful members stopped with him and said, Pastor, do you know what the most important thing that you've said to us over all these years is? What a question to ask a pastor. What was that, he said? You told us that there is nothing that we can do to get God to stop loving us. The most important thing that we can learn in life is this, that God never stops loving us. Peter lied and swore about even being one of the disciples. But God loved him. The mothers came with their small children to Jesus, and for the disciples there were a problem, but God loved them. The woman at the well at Samaria had a horrendous past, and her present wasn't too great either, but God loved her. No matter what your life has been this morning, God still loves you. Isn't that amazing? Let's rest confidently. Let's rejoice continually in the amazing reality of the even more amazing nature of our God, who is unchanging and unfailing love. For I am persuaded, totally convinced, that nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in